The other thing is a more political argument about whether you count everybody for purposes of drawing those maps. The Constitution says that you have to count all the humans in the state, whether they are citizens or not. The question here, raised first by the Trump administration, is whether you include non-citizens in the count for political maps. The general consensus seems to be, yes, you do. The Biden administration's position is, yes, you do. What's in play there is whether Texas gets three more seats in Congress, which is a projection, or just gets one or two. So there's a lot of power at play there. So we'll see how those things go. That's kind of the quick version of Washington. When you get to the state politics and government, the legislative session is underway in Texas. It started on the second Tuesday of January. They came in strange circumstances. Only one of the four ground level doors at the Texas Capitol is open to the public. There's a tent before you get there where you get tested for COVID. There are limits on how many people can be in the building, on where they can be, how close together they can be. You have to wear masks, except in the offices of senators and representatives who don't require you to wear masks. The Capitol cafeteria, which is, you know, secretly where a lot of law and deals are made, is closed. It's a different environment over there. The general effect of this, we think, we're guessing, is that they're not going to pass as many laws as they ordinarily do. In a regular session, in a normal year, 6,000 or 7,000 bills get filed. About 20-23% of those become law in some form or another. There's a lot of duplication. There's a lot of posing. There's a lot of noise making, as you know, if you've watched a session before. But generally, they get a lot done, and there's a big pack of legislation. The session starts very, very slowly. When you're in the last month, you can hardly keep up because it's going so fast. I think that's going to be more constrained this time. I think there are going to be 5 or 6 issues that they definitely believe that they have to take care of. There are the have-tos, like the state budget, like redistricting eventually, a couple of other things. But I think a lot of what they normally would do in a legislative session is going to get pushed aside to the next session as they make their way through the pandemic. They were here for 3 days, and this is not unusual. They came in on their first day. They were sworn in. They were here for 3 days. They approved rules. They elected a new speaker, Dade Phelan, a Democrat from Beaumont. And then they went home. But in those 3 days, we already have 4 or 5 cases of COVID-19 among members, at least one of whom was on the floor and caused some of his the people who have desks in his vicinity to go into self-quarantine. So I think this is going to be touch and go as we go through it. The Capitol, as you know, is a very social place. It's kind of a live social network. It's not a technical one. It's the actual thing. People in close quarters arguing, talking, debating, working on legislation, hearing from the public. And it's going to be very interesting and difficult to both control a disease and have an effective government. It's going to be an experiment of itself. I had a column the other day. I called it a Petri dish, and got some recognition for that from inside the House and the Senate. They kind of agreed with that assessment. Mostly the same people are coming back in the House and the Senate. The partisan numbers are about the same in the Senate. There's one more Democrat than there was before. The Senate has changed its rules to ensure that the 18 Republicans can get legislation to the floor, even if the Democrats disagree. You may remember, if you're a student of this, that the Senate for a long time had a 2/3 rule that said you can't bring legislation to the floor unless 2/3 of the senators agree to do so. As the Republican majority shrunk to 19 and now to 18, they've changed that rule to basically make sure that the Republicans can get things done. So now it's an 18-13 rule instead of a 2/3 rule. The math-impaired press corps figured out that that's now a 5/9 rule. But basically, they're wanting to make sure that the Republicans still have control. In the House, last session, we had 83 Republicans and 67 Democrats. We've changed some names, but we have not changed the numbers. It's still 83 to 67. What that means in both places is that the majorities are not overwhelming and that there will be a lot of legislation done in the middle, not necessarily compromised, but not necessarily partisan either. The legislature handles some partisan legislation. Certainly things like redistricting fall into that category. But a lot of stuff that they do isn't partisan at all. It's rural versus urban or suburban versus rural or something like that. And so these majorities and these coalitions are moving all of the time. And because the partisan numbers are what they are, you can't really control either house just with a partisan majority. So the Republicans won't, you know, have their way on everything, but they'll have their way on partisan things. I expect them to have a strong upper hand on redistricting. They have the House, they have the Senate, those draw the maps, they have the governor who signs the maps, and then off to the courts we go. Redistricting, if you know, if you follow that, is always a festival of litigation. In fact, the litigation that started with the 2010 census and the redistricting that followed that is still underway. So, you know, this is kind of a never-ending story, but we're looping back. If you're watching elections, the Republican majority means that the Republicans will draw maps and that the Republicans will enter the 2022 election cycle.